Thanks, Jason. That was really good. I don't want to take away from what we've heard. Lord willing, we can maybe just add a little bit to it. I was looking at a somewhat similar topic. I hope you can see the similarity. I was looking at having our joy made full and some of the scriptures in the New Testament about that. And the one that really primarily caught my eye this morning was in John chapter 3. Verse 26. That's John 3:26. So some of John's disciples came to him, and they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. He must increase, but I must decrease." And I was just thinking about that and just kind of reflecting, like, it's obvious, right? But if you put yourself in John's shoes, I think we all maybe have been tested in these ways, right? Like, John had a ministry given to him from God to prepare the way for Christ. And there was a season where he was the only voice in Israel, right? Like, he was the one voice speaking for God, and people were repenting, and there was a really good, the Holy Spirit was working. Then all of a sudden, Jesus came and started teaching and baptizing himself. And then the people who came to John said, "Everyone's going to Jesus. Everyone, like, we're losing here. Like, we're losing people here, John." Like, and I think they were probably questioning if this was a problem, because the ministry seemed to be dwindling. And John's attitude was like, "No, like, I actually, my joy is being made full because people are going to Christ." Because he knew, he was confident, he knew who the bridegroom was, and he was happy to see those, even his disciples, right? We know even earlier in the book of John, right? Like, John's, like, close disciples, the ones who were with him daily, John said, "Behold, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And the disciples left him. They then started following Jesus. And John had come to a place where he wasn't troubled by that. And it can seem easy to say, okay, it's because he knew he was the Christ. Like, obviously he was happy Jesus had come, but I don't see it that way. Like, I just see on a personal level, like, a little bit what Jason was talking about. When I read this passage, what was in my heart was those tests that come where you start to feel something that you value or something you've put effort in or something that you were looking forward to starting to kind of slip through your hands. Like, it's kind of escaping you. You knew, and you just have this, like, for me personally, you can get this, like, tension inside of you. Like, what I want, what I'm working on, or what I value is slipping from me here. And I know it's not a direct application, but I just, in my heart, I was like, John had the fullness of joy because when Christ came and when the people started going to Christ, he knew this was the plan. He knew this was what God had ordained. And he could rejoice to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. And in that, he found his joy made complete. And John was in the old covenant. It says he who's least in the kingdom of God is actually greater than John. But I question myself and say, like, do I have that same attitude that Joel must decrease, but Christ must increase? Because I think if we have that attitude in ourselves, we are going to find satisfaction in Christ. We are going to find this life filled with the joy of Christ. And I say this out of desire. I say this, I can also testify, I have tasted it in measure. There has been distinct times in my walk with the Lord where by the grace of God, a victory came. Something was peeled away from me, or Jesus was directing, the Holy Spirit was directing me to step back and open my hands on something that I really thought was great and just put it in, like, just open hands before the Lord. And I have experienced times where I was like, man, like, it's not immediate. It's not a transaction. I want to share that elsewhere. But it's not a transaction. It's not like, if I do this, God, you do this. That's not how it works. But it is a step of faith that says, Jesus, I believe I've heard from you, so I'm going to release this. My hands have been gripping this pretty tight, but I'm going to let it go. And I can say that there have been times where I can directly link the satisfaction and the joy I have in my heart afterwards, saying, I know there's a correlation here. And I'm not saying it's a transaction, because I want to steer clear of that. But our Heavenly Father confirms things. He shows us. He's a shepherd, right? He wants to guide his sheep and say, yeah, that was a good choice. That was my intent for you. And this was a test. And I wanted you to accept the fact that you need to decrease, and you need to let go of some things in your life. And there's going to be a shift here that others may not understand. But if you understand it and are willing to just embrace it and trust that this is part of my plan, you're going to find that blessing and that joy. So just a couple more verses quickly. Let's go to John chapter 15. These are common scriptures, but I think for myself, like, I don't know, like, I was just, I think it's good to read about these scriptures on having joy from the Lord, because we talk about having grace, we talk about having victory, we talk about having peace, and all of these things are interrelated. It's not one without the other, but it's good to reflect on the promise that we have, that we as believers are to have in John 15 verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. And I was just reflecting on, like, that is, like, we're to have the joy of Christ made full within us. Like, that's the promise to us as believers, and the calling is that we keep his commandments. And I was thinking about that, saying, like, it's not a transaction. It's not like, I did this for you, God, therefore you need to do this for me. And if we don't see that joy coming, we feel God has shortchanged us, or God is not true, or we listen to some lies from the enemy that says it's all God actually isn't, there's no joy here, it's just a life of misery or something. Like, that's not true. But in my heart, when it says, when you keep my commandments, it's like, in my heart, I believe it's that life of, like, living with open hands, living a life that says, Joel's desires are going to decrease, and the desires of Christ, the desires prompted by the Holy Spirit, are going to increase. When I read commandment, that's what I understand. That's what I hear. I don't hear make a list and tick it off and say, okay, I've ticked it off, and now, God, where's the joy? It's more like saying, God's ways are good, and I want to live in God's ways. And by faith, I'm going to walk that. And when the test comes, where something that I have been seeking and desiring, and all of a sudden God starts to put his finger on it. Some of those examples that Jason shared were great, and I think others of us can probably think, I can think of some in my own life even still, where God starts to put his finger on it and says, like, I'm testing you here. Are you willing to let that go? Are you willing to see that priority lower in your life or gone altogether? That's when we're obeying his commandments, because we're saying, you know what, I am going to take up my cross and follow you, Jesus. And when that's our heart attitude, I think we can start to know more and more of this promise that the joy of Christ can be in us, and that joy will be made full. And it says, I read verse 12 for a reason, because it says, this is the commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that one lay down his life for his friends. And we know that Jesus was the perfect example of that, how he laid down his life for us. Well, we weren't even friends yet. We were actually his enemies, and he still laid down his life for us. But as I read it and I see, like, this keeping his commandments, I think they're related, right? Like, as we choose to lay down our lives, as we choose to say, God, continue to adjust my priorities so I see your priorities as the priority, and I see my priorities continuing to decrease. I see that as how we lay down our lives, because we know what his priorities are. His priorities are his body in this earth. His priorities are seeing people come to know the gospel and come to know Jesus Christ. His priorities are our sanctification and seeing us changed. As we do these things, we are going to end up laying our lives down. But in it, if done by faith, I really believe that it's my desire for myself that I would know more of this joy that is promised, as I am willing to purpose that I'm going to keep his commandments and put the priorities of Christ ahead of my own and see Joel's priorities decrease. So just maybe two more verses. I liked verse 16:22. It says there, it's talking about how the disciples are going to weep and be grieving, and the world is going to rejoice. That's what's going to happen. And he was talking about when he was crucified and the difficult path that was ahead of them all. But then he said in verse 22, therefore, you too will have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. And I was just kind of caught by that phrase that, like, I don't know, you can know it in your head, but, like, I don't know, like, it's a wonderful thing to think about, that we as believers, to the extent that we've purposed in our heart that our desire is to obey the commandments of God, to put God's priorities first and let the Holy Spirit direct our lives and to take up our cross, we're given a promise that we're going to have his joy and it'll be full. And it's also a promise that no one or no thing can take that joy away from us. And I just think about my own life, right? Like, there's still an up and down. If I'm honest, there's still an up and down. And I trust and I believe it is a growing upwards. There's a direction there. And I'm not saying there's going to be not going to be difficult days, but I just read that and say, like, you know what? There's further to go where I can come to a place where I can say, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and no one and no thing can take that away from me. Where I am not shaken, where I am grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ, and his joy is so permanent in my heart that nothing can take it away from me. And when we feel that something's trying to steal that joy away from us, it's a time to take a check and say, man, am I holding on to something here? Are my hands closed when they need to be open right now? Because I feel like this joy is maybe being taken away or not what it once was. I don't want to put our focus on our emotions and saying, am I doing good? Am I doing bad? Because that's a dangerous place. But I hope what you can take from that is the promise, right? Like, to really, truly believe that. Like, we can have a joy that cannot be taken away from us. I don't know. I think it's a wonderful promise. I think maybe I'll just stop there. I think if you read elsewhere, you look at often, like, I don't know, as you start to look for this, you read, I just was obviously, how I do some of these studies, is I just look the word up in either my concordance here or in my Bible app and start seeing where it talks about joy in different contexts. And we can see even in, like, Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, he said, like, make my joy complete. Live your lives in a way that is like Christ, where you put others' interests ahead of your own. And I was reading that going, man, Paul, it was a focus in his life. Like, he actually, it was something he thought about. Like, it brought him joy to see other believers laying their lives down for one another putting aside divisions, putting others' interests ahead of our own. Why did it bring Paul joy? Why would he say, make my joy complete? Was that a selfish statement? I don't think so. I think it's because everything you read there in Philippians 2 about what Paul called on the Philippians to do, to make his joy complete, he said that because he had already experienced and knew the joy of living that way. He was telling them, I am filled with joy when I see you guys living this way, because I know from experience it is the best way to live. It's the way where true joy is found, and my joy is made complete when I see you choosing to live that way, Philippians. And you could look at it in John as well, 1st and 2nd John. He talks as well about, in 1st John he says, our joy is made complete by telling you about what we've seen and know of Christ. Our joy is made complete by doing that. And then in 2nd John he says, in 2nd John he's writing to the lady and said, encouraging her that her joy may be made complete by taking heed to what he wrote her in the letter. So I share these examples just to sort of say, like, it is an emphasis. It is a reality and something that those who were writing, the apostles who were giving us these letters and writing people and focusing on, like, the joy of the Lord was something that they were seeking to find and seeking to communicate to others so that they can walk and enjoy it in that same way and be living that life where the joy of the Lord is made complete in us, or the joy that Jesus Christ had is made complete in us. And I don't know, like what Jason shared was so excellent, and I hope this didn't take away from it, but I think they're kind of related, right? Like, where do we seek for our satisfaction, right? Like, I kind of see that, like, having the joy of the Lord is like being satisfied in Christ. So